This episode of AetherStream is brought to you by Aetherflow Media. We would not be able to create content like this without the support of our amazing patrons. Welcome back, everyone, to another episode of AetherStream. How is everyone?
Alive?
I'm doing great.
I am trying not to laugh.
That is your own damn fault.
I know.
Oh, Lord.
Like, just for the record, I want you to know the last podcast, and this is for the listeners to hear, was shy of an hour. I had to delete almost 10 minutes of laughing. That's how bad it was.
There was a lot of it. I'm sure you left some of the laughs in. Like, laugh track.
I did leave quite a few, but there was like one moment for about a minute straight, Crow and Toa and I were just going back and forth laughing for no reason.
Oh, good grief.
You should have just left that in and then given no context and seen how saw how people reacted to it. Like, that's just me.
I should have, but I didn't.
So to all of our listeners, this is what happens when you eat meal. You start laughing uncontrollably.
This is what happens when you eat Sin Eaters, kids. Don't do that.
Meal's bad for you.
Your brain. Yeah, this is your brain on Sin Eater.
Oh my God. You know what? That's better than most drug PSAs. I am not going to lie. We got that on lock. Okay, so where were we? Where did we leave off?
So last time we left off, we got up the Great Wall. We took the elevator, saw the beautiful scenery. Then we decided to go drug some dwarves. Because, you know, we don't like them. We gave him mule.
Thank God we didn't. It was just dream powder. Like, we're not gonna do that to the locals. Like, the locals are doing that to the locals, and we don't need to follow suit. Like, we're not that shady. We are, you know, the Warrior Darkness, but we're not that shady.
We're not gonna stoop to Volf 3's low.
No.
I don't know if I could say it low, because he's higher up in the air now.
He's just nasty. Like, he's drugging his own people. But that's okay, because now we're working towards cooperation and everything's going to be great. Hopefully. Fingers crossed, maybe.
Yes. High five.
Did you just high five yourself?
No.
Yes, he did.
That's fantastic.
Oh, my Lord.
And let's be honest, things are going to go to utter poop.
This is Final Fantasy 14. Of course it's going to go to poop.
Yeah, we just got to step to the side of the fan. You know, that way before the poo hits the fan, we're out of it.
It hits everyone else, but not us generally. Yes.
So, Crow, I will let you take lead.
All righty. So, as we left off, everyone was getting together to help build a Talos up. And I think...
Do you want to build a Talos?
God damn it.
I mean, it was definitely worth that song. I mean, everyone was happy. Everyone you worked towards and you were helping, they all got together. There's that one quest where you gave out pickaxes to everybody, and they were all making jokes about, hey, thanks for the help. Let me help you this time. And then... Yep.
You get an axe! Yeah. You get an axe! Yeah.
It was really nice, really good feeling all around. And then you go over, you get to imbue the Heartstone of Taudia. To prepare it for use in the Talos.
That was a cute moment.
There's a lot of really good feelings abound in this. And of course, you know, convincing Chinese, he's like nervous. He's like, what if this doesn't work? And it's like, no, you got this, man. We got this.
Like, Hasbro, don't copyright strike us, but you know, friendship is magic and all. Like, this is the epitome of friendship is magic.
It is.
I tried encouraging him, and I remember, like, every response back I got was like, I don't believe you. This is fake. try to make me feel something.
I like that mini game with Chinese. That was very Chinese. Very cute.
It was very good because it's like he didn't want direct encouragement. You had to, like, convince him. You had to be like, well, you think this is impossible? Guess what I did? You got to bring up a flooding Doma, you know, as one of the options. You could tell him, yeah, we flooded the entire castle just to beat the bad guys.
He's like, well, that's a thing.
And he's just like, what? That sounds weird, but you know what? It worked, didn't it? And so it, like, pushed him towards making his own wild goal.
So tell me something that that you did that's inspirational. I flooded a city.
Yeah, I flooded a city.
I flooded a national heritage site.
Oh, God. Oof. You are savages.
I like that if you talk to Dulia beforehand, though, she does give you that hint. She's just like, oh, my husband's amazing, but he doesn't like to be flattered.
Yeah, you gotta give him, like, practical information.
Yeah.
And then, of course, you get that chance to, when everything's said and done, the Exarch walked off.
like he does.
Sweet Dulia Chai, and her ever concern for everyone, she reaches out to you. She's like, hey, your exarch friend walked away. I'm just worried about him. You get to
Thanks,
go talk
to him. Thanks, Cat
Mama. Yeah, get to go talk to him. And then, of course, feelings all abound as he kind of hints towards knowing somebody sounds eerily similar to yourself, you know?
Oh, I'd love to go on an adventure with this person. They're like my best friend, and I admire them, and I love them so much. Just sat there side-eyeing him the whole time, like, we know you're talking about us.
Yeah, no, he's just like, I wish I could see this person again. Wink, wink, nudge, nudge.
I wish it didn't have to end. Yeah, winky face.
No, it was just a really sweet moment, because, you know, the Crystal Exarch talks about, like, just, you know, the hopes and dreams. And there was a previous moment in that did duty when you were escorting the dwarf. And he's just getting this dwarf hyped up because he's like, oh, my friend here has done a lot of cool things. You know, but
they're
like,
amazing.
What do you know about these cool things? Like, you know, yeah, I didn't do any stuff, but hey, what is that? But continuing with those really good energies. And then we get this nice little segue back to the source. And they talk, meanwhile, in the Imperial Palace of Garlemald. Or, I mean, I guess
yes.
You can do the SpongeBob narrator voice. Meanwhile, in the Imperial Palace.
Meanwhile.
Yeah, we get that fun little interaction with not Elidibus. Or no, not Xenos.
Yeah, Elidibus is having that nice conversation with Varus. Isn't it about Black Rose?
Yes.
So they were dealing with the rumors that Xenos was possessed. Because the Shinobi and Thancred and all of them were spreading that rumor around to incite unrest. And so Elidibus had gone around to get rid of those rumors. I guess he took out a bunch of revolutionaries and that.
You know. Yeah, Elidibus is just like, I'm tired of this shade. I'm tired of all these. I need some good PR.
Yep. But he shows up and he's like, hey, guess what I learned? No one's actually here. They're all on the first. That gives us time to do something. Let's take advantage of this.
We should nuke them all.
Yeah, we get rid of them now. We won't have to deal with it anymore. And then, well, you know, everyone's talking and having a good time. And guess what? Xenos is like, man, you do not wear my skin well.
Xenos just shows up. Yeah, hold that thought. I am here to utterly wreck all of your plans. Yeah. Hi.
Literally.
There was a part of me that kind of wished that he looked and goes, oh, how dare you use that kind of skincare on my face?
Yeah.
Those shoes, that top.
It doesn't match.
Repulsive.
It's like, did I give you permission to use my katana? Like,
I just wish that, you know, Elidibus, while he was wearing the outfit, was like, looks at his butt and is like, how does this fit through a door?
Like, ooh, girl, I got that booty. I didn't know I had that much junk in my trunk.
I don't know if there was an opportunity. I don't know if it ever happened. It would have been funny. Elidibus asking Ebbet Sell, because, like, this is your grandson, your great-grandson, right? Like, how did this happen? And just, like, turns around, you know, like, what did you do?
You what sired did you this? Do?
And Ebbet Sell's like, get out of my great-grandson now. Like, stop it.
Leave.
The weird soul body switch thing. Ugh, that's so funny.
Oh, well, we've had Xenos kind of like hovering around in the background the whole time, like, hey, oh, yeah. Guys, I'm still here. I'm being Following spooky everyone. And mysterious. And then he shows up again. He's just like, boom, I'm here. Time to throw.
I'm fond of that body and I want it back. And he's like, my body or your secrets. I care not which one you give first, but he pulls out a sword, so it's just like, well.
It's like, you have a fight on your hands, and considering it's Xenos, and he has, like a synthetic echo.
Reserves, yeah.
I wouldn't chance it. Like, if I was Elidibus, I'd get out of Dodge. I'd just be like, nope, I'm gonna nope out of this situation. This is awkward for me.
Yeah. I have so many questions about that synthetic echo.
Oh yeah.
It seems stronger than a regular echo by far.
Yeah, and they don't go into the resonant. Like, they don't go into it deeply. Maybe there's like a side story or one of the side novels that goes into it a bit more. I don't know if you've read anything about that, Crow, but like, as far as the game goes, apart from snippets, you don't really hear much about the process, only that some of them turned into like the boss at the end of Castrum Abania, or they are, you know, failed and they don't work. And, you know, Xenos and I think Fordola are about the only ones that succeeded.
Yeah, those two are the only ones with it. And I think, as far as I understand it, it's Magitek creation. It's the technology, you know, that they managed to get both from studying Allegan technology as well as their own means of construction to basically copy the ethereal resonance that is issued forth from an Echo user. That's why they captured Kryl and Stormblood. And they basically copied her aura and rewrote Xenos's aura and Fordola's aura using that same kind of like resonance. It's all about like following a pattern of ethereal technology and just like imprinting that onto the person that's getting their stuff rewritten. And they had to use the ether of several individuals. That's why when you do that quest and you go into the Resonatorium, there's a ton of bodies
everywhere. Yep. Yeah.
You know, it was 4.1. 4.1 is where you're able to kind of like get into it just a little bit more. They copied the ether of Kryl and pasted it onto Xenos and pasted it onto Fordola. But Xenos had the most of it. I think there's a lot more to his workings than just, you know, Fordola's was just a one take because she only has that one eye and he has both eyes and he could take over primals. And I mean, there's a lot going on there that I think we'll probably get explained to us as the story goes on, since Xenos is still in the picture. So I say we should wait on it and see what happens if they do bring it back up, like how it works, how the science works, and anything like that.
So what you're saying is we can still blame Allegans for everything.
Oh yeah, I mean, yeah, the Allegans, they initiated most of the problems that we have in Eorzea and continue to do so.
As Allegans, yep.
The ancient aliens gif, but with the Allegans.
So this is just me, like, as you're talking to the Exarch, I noticed the very cranky duck.
Oh, the shoebill?
The shoebill. Why do I have a feeling that like the first counter of Xenos is that shoebill? It's always cranky and glaring at you.
Oh my god, that would be amazing.
The shoebill has some significance to this. I wouldn't say significance to the story per se, but someone has asked, I think someone asked Natsuko about it. She mentioned that the shoebill is in fact important, and that's all she was willing to say on the subject. So,
I haven't done 5.1. Oh, go ahead.
Oh, you haven't done 5.1? Okay.
I have not, but I heard that it's in there.
Yeah, I heard. So I heard as
the
well.
The shoebill is everywhere. Like, if you look, that thing follows you around, and I haven't completed 5.1 either. So I want to know, why is he stalking me? What is this?
Yeah. I have a theory, but I can't say until later.
Until 5.1 talk?
Yes. Oh my gosh.
It's just a theory.
We're almost there.
We need to hurry.
Yeah.
We need to hurry.
So after all that, we decide we're going to actually build the Talos.
Yeah. We're actually going to
build the thing.
Well, it's like everyone built it together. Like, it was every able-bodied hand at that moment, including, which I'm never going to get over this, the Yulmorans that just woke out of their, like, that sense of mind control that they had to deal with. They get up out of that and they are like, hey, how can we help? And
yeah, what can we do?
My heart, like, you guys are doing your best, even though you pretty much, I mean, most of you still made bad choices, but at the same time, you're willing to make recompense for it. And so, you know, they want to help too. You got these people in these fancy dresses picking up tools to go help. Like, it's like, oh man, they're not kidding. And you know, you got them and the Knights Blessed and everyone gets together. They build they follow the plans to the T, you know, and then Chinese is like, all right, it's time to activate it. But he gives you, you know, he tells you, you should have the honors of saying go. And when you set to activate, you get that really cool cutscene. Mountain just rises up, you know, like breaks all the ground that was broken up for it, rises into the sky in the shape of a giant. And then starts
all those forward. Side quests are worth it.
Oh, yes. It's so good. You know, that the music when the Talos starts to rise, oh man, it's so good.
I will say, just watching that Talos come from the ground was just, oh, that is like dreams of seeing something awesome happening. Like, for those people to come out of like despair that their world's about to come to an end, to seeing something like that pop out of the ground due to their hard work.
Yeah.
That just has to be like a sense of accomplishment for them.
This is what you are capable of, is what this part of the story is. It's just like, look, this is what you are. This is what you're saying to these people. This is what you are capable of when you stand together as a united front, when you protect your home, and when you will do anything to do that, you know? It's what you can do if you believe in yourselves and if you just do it.
You can move mountains.
You can literally move mountains if you want to, because this is Final Fantasy 14 and there's so much magic.
Oh. Ain't no mountain high enough. Ain't no valley low enough.
Pretty much.
And we'll talk about that Valley later.
You get the really sweet moment from Oddbert kind of looking on and watching, like, and he just, I think we spoke about this last time, but he just smiles like,
he's so happy.
You did it. All of the things I wanted to do, like, I was down, I thought I was down and out, but, you know, he can see us and he can see that, you know, we're pushing as hard as he pushed to save, you know, his homeland. And it's nice. It's super nice. And every time Oddbert shows up, it kicks us in the feels again and again and again. I wish they would stop, but also not.
Yeah. He, you know, he asked that question way back in Little Meg, back in the you almost died to the Floth. He was asking, like, what was it all for? We gave everything, and what was the result of that? And then I think they meant to put him there in that moment because they wanted him to see that was your answer. That's what it was all for. This Talos that's not only comprised of the hard work of every single person in Novarand altogether, it was powered by the souls of those that passed on. The Heartstones were held by people that passed away. And so there's like, the living and those of the past were all cut together in that one singular moment to fight for their world. And you were the ones pushing them in that direction.
Yeah, I loved actually how earlier in the MSQ, back when you were in, in Rectiga, and they did the whole funeral scene for that one girl, how that led up to this. And that was kind of one thing I thought back to. It was like, her life force is kind of helping to fuel this.
Yep.
It's not just the living, but the dead too. Even the dead are doing their part.
Past hopes and wishes as well as the current ones. And then, you know, you get to... You get to tell the party, they're like, all right, we got to climb this Talos. And you can say, last one's there is a rotten egg.
I love that dialogue option so much.
Later, losers.
So we open up the dungeon.
That dungeon was fantastic. I love
Mount God.
Love Mount Gold. The theme song, the mechanics, the aesthetic. I mean, you're walking up the side of the mountain and some seniors come to attack you. And then the Talos's hand just comes out and slaps them. And you're just like,
no, bye. Bruh.
Yeah, like, and then even then, when they were when the Talos was trying to reach the mountain, the Fae, they're too helping. Like, everyone's there. So it's just, I mean, so good.
Yeah, Feowul gets pissed off at us again.
Cold and grilled, heartless.
It's like, I told you to call when you need me.
Yeah.
Damn it.
It's like, that's so hard.
It's like, we're away at university and our mom keeps calling, like, do you need sandwiches? Do you need a haircut? Are you sure you don't want to come home? And I'm like, Feowul, it's fine. I'm trying to save the world. And then she just shows up anyway, like, wow, you didn't invite me to this party?
Nope.
The dungeon is super good, though. The one criticism I have about it is that there were times where I could not, and this is because I do have a reshade preset on, so this is technically my own fault, but with certain settings, like, you can't see the AoEs against the white as you make that transition from the dirt to that beautiful spanning palace.
I'll tell you what, even without reshade,
so you can see it now. They realized it was a player issue. A lot of people were saying that they were having a hard time seeing AoEs, and I think they patched in either brighter color for the AoEs there, or made it like more like visible. So you can go in now, and it should be no problem.
Okay, that's awesome.
The Rubik's Cube, right?
Yeah,
Rubik's Cube.
Okay, I just want to make sure, because that was the only one I had issues with, was the Rubik's Cube. Bleh.
See, I actually had problems with everything leading up to that, when you were just finding the trash.
Me too. Because there's those gate monsters, the ones that they use in Amdapur. It's the same mob. There's all white across the floor, and you can't... They shoot out conal AoEs, like two of them, I think, in tandem, and you can't necessarily see them if the floor's white. You can see it on, like, the dark spots on the floor if you're kind of, like, still on the dirt, but otherwise you can't see them very well. And I got hit a few times. Maybe
that's
died
a
once.
Statement for me.
It was one of the few times that you could actually blame it on the environment and people were actually okay with it.
Yeah, it wasn't just you being bad.
I will say the first time I did it and I was against that Rubik's Cube, I was okay. But then, like, the second time I wasn't paying attention. And as you guys say, you couldn't see it. I had no idea because I didn't focus target like I should have. Shame on me. And that's the only time I had problems was on the second boss. The final boss? Oh.
Oh, that was an interesting fight.
That's got some loop-de-loop complicated stuff. For someone who's not good at patterns, like, I had some real trouble with it the first couple of times. So now I've kind of just learned to follow the person that looks like they know what they're doing.
Yeah. You look confident. I trust you.
Don't get me in the bad one. That's funny.
No, and then when they kill you, you could be like, you failed me.
You failed me. I was following you.
Oh man,
I like that dungeon a lot. It's good. Oh, it's really well put together. Mm-hmm. And the thing I've noticed about Shadowbringers in general is that the dungeons aren't overlong like some of them were in Stormblood.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so to be honest, I was actually expecting Lothry to be the final boss of that dungeon. Yeah. Oh man, I was so wrong. Like, I wasn't expecting to have that trial afterwards.
Definitely a surprise. I mean, I knew because they announced Innocence at the first fan fest, either the first or second fan fest, and we knew about Innocence really early on. We had no context, though. Absolutely no context. And then we realized he had something to do with the Sin Eaters, and we're like, so it's probably the Sin Eater boss, you know. But there was little no reference to him whatsoever as he progressed through MSQ. Those that saw it early on were really confused as to where Innocence fit in all of this, because we knew he was showing up at some point, but when? No idea. We had no context whatsoever.
And the format said we'd need another trial anyway, so it's kind of like, and so when he doesn't show up in the dungeon, it's like, well, he has to be.
His character that was announced so early on, but absolutely no like context for it, right? And so that's where the dev team got us, because we were expecting like a full blown, here he is, this is Innocence. That's not what happened.
We were bamboozled.
The only thing that actually made me thought that he was going to be the trial right after the dungeon is because that's kind of almost how it went in Stormblood, like where you went through Alamigo and then you had to fight Shinryu. But at the same time, but at the same time, like, I was going through the dungeon, I'm like, okay, we're going to be fighting Innocence soon, because I'm looking around at the area and all the white and the heavenly gold and stuff like that. Yeah.
You saw it in the trailer too. Like, you saw that bright kind of like background. You're like, so he has to be here somewhere, right?
Where they got me though.
Summon him or something. Like, I was like, summon him.
Where they got me though was like, as the entire time that we're doing this, I'm like, this can't be the end of the expansion. Like,
this seems a little too quick.
I was like, what's going on here?
Yeah, because at that point,
level 79. What's going on?
Yeah, it's like I just hit 79 just to do this dungeon, and then.
But I haven't even got my AF yet.
Oh yeah.
So I'm still laughing at the whole heavy fluffy guy with tiny small
angelic.
Thank you. Wings flying off into the distance, and then just see him waltzing down the stairs. It's just like,
he got a little more aggressive there.
I have to say one thing about this is when I saw that, I'm like, he is really a hell Moogle. This is what all Moogles eventually turn into.
Like, is this the whole thing? Like with the Shumi in 8, is this what Moogles eventually turn into? They turn into Vorthry.
Exactly. And this is why we all hated them during the One Piece tribe quest.
We knew. Secretly, we knew.
They were too much light in their bodies, and all they needed was a push, and they would turn to Vorthry.
Oh, my Lord.
Yeah, that's crazy.
Yep.
Vorthry's not super imposing when he shows up to begin with, though, because it's Vorthry.
I mean, he's
done some creepy things, but he's a giant tantrum baby. He waddles down the stairs, and I'm just like, heh, you're going to be a pushover.
Are you so convinced of your cause you're willing to die? Fine, then. I'm fine. I'll hit you. Like, and...
Yeah, and you get the first phase of that fight where he's just kind of like, he's being cute, and you're just like dodging everything he throws at you like, nah.
Then and then he starts to complain about something, and you're like, oh no, what? And you see...
Did you eat too much meal?
Yeah, you see the weird tendrils rip out of his back, and you're like, oh my, what?
Yeah, some antacids isn't gonna fix that, buddy. What's wrong with you?
He's irradiating like powerful waves of light hitting you, you know, semi DPS check. You're sitting there trying to figure out what's going on. Like, especially all of us, you know, when we're first encountering this, he's like, it hurts, it burns. And you're like, oh, what?
Just take your Tums.
What? And then you watch him. He just starts to. Okay, so let me tell you, I have to say, if you have full audio on when this is happening, it sounds
nasty.
Gross. It sounds so gross. He's ripping. Yeah. He's ripping, and you can hear his flesh contort. And you're just like, ugh, like, what?
Hello, body horror. How are you?
It's awful. It's not.
Yeah, I was not eating at that point, and I'm glad I was not.
Yeah, I know. That would have ruined all appetite.
He makes a T-Rex noise. Like, I can't unhear it.
Yep. Oh, man. And then the light goes goes bright, you can't see anything, and boom, celestial being like, on high.
Such bliss. This is what light feels like.
Yep. Ripples into his perfect form, and you're just like everyone says, oh no, we weren't.
Everyone in the chat.
He's handsome.
Oh no, he's hot.
Oh no, he's Fabio.
He is. Can we talk glistening about the design on this hair, guy though?
The wings. Oh man, the whole sequence, because he's standing there, he's like realizing what he's become, spins his spear, and then when he opens his hand, his wings expand out, and like, I mean, the animation for that,
it's so Vol 3.
Yeah, oh, very Vol 3, yeah. Very, very flamboyant, but like at the same time, just, I mean, the whole thing fitted so well. And of course, everybody's, oh, there's incense. Like, oh, we now know where that came from, because we had no clue that Vol 3 was innocence. There was no connection between two concepts whatsoever. Like, this entire time, it was held to us that, you know, innocence would appear or show up, not like be an extension of Vol 3. So that was really cool.
I kind of thought actually that the stupid baby head that was on his chest for most of the thing, I thought it was going to do this whole like alien thing and like pop out of
him. Oh, like burst out of his chest. Oh, that would have been body horror to the max. I don't think they would have gone that far. Like they've pushed that token pretty far this expansion with the body horror, with the sound effects. Like, I don't think they go that far though.
Well, maybe they had it actually, they did it like that, and then they watched it, they're like, we can't do this.
No, we can't do this.
This is too much.
They have the extended cut sequence of baby head just erupting from his armpit. You're like,
Nope.
Return to sender.
His design is gorgeous, though. Like, I don't want to compliment Vol 3, but I'm going to compliment Vol 3. Like, the design team, that primal, like you said, the animation, like, the way he gestures, like, even the way he speaks.
Blade wings are coolest things to come in fantasy fiction literature and content. Every time I see blade wings, I'm like, those are so cool. Like, so.
They're so cool. And the rest of the fight gets a little bit harder because this isn't even my final form thing like happens. And he's like, I'm a Banff now.
Yep. God rays and all that. Like,
you need to watch your feet in this fight. You really do. And there's a lot of movement. So
like, I think the thing that got me during that trial was when he did the little, it's like the spick and span symbol and then it circles around the arena and I wasn't paying attention and I ended up running with it. Yeah, there's only cone spaces
where you're safe.
Yeah, I ended up running with it. Ugh, so bad.
There's the bacon ribbon in the middle that goes around, and then there's a lot of outgoing damage. Like, healers need to be on their toes for that fight, and I the first time I went through it, I was a healer, and I had, this is like pre-patch Astrologian, so that was a tough time for me. That was a real heal check for me.
I was actually playing White Mage, and I do remember thinking like, oh my god, all the damage. Will people please stop stepping in things?
Stop taking damage!
Quit exploding, you cowards!
There were a few wipes. There were a few.
There was quite a few.
But there's a lot going on, so I understand how new people going into that fight. I mean, even now, I've done that trial a few more times. I know what I'm doing. I know how to move as like a caster, a melee DPS, range DPS. I've done it on a bunch of characters at this point with a bunch of classes, and I know what I'm doing. But new people to that fight have a tough time every single time because it is a lot to take in. A lot.
I feel like it definitely joins the ranks of those, you know, final tier trials that get set up for end game, you know, near end game content. Like it lines up right there as those. This isn't a fun experience when you're doing it for the first time, like, because there's so many AoEs going off and you're just like, if you bring any new people in, you gotta make sure you explain some of the mechanics.
But I feel like that's a good thing because it's Vol 3. This is innocence. This is supposedly our big bad. And
yeah, he's telling you he was going to destroy you. You know, you were the ruiners of paradise and he was going to stop everything.
You need to feel like you're actually going to be destroyed in this fight, which is good that they did that. Unfortunately, it loses its luster a few go-arounds, but you know, to begin with, at least you feel like maybe you're being pressed a little bit.
Good stuff. Definitely for first run. I mean, even now, I have friends who are just finishing up Shadowbringers and they still can't, you know, they get to play that for the first time. They have no expectations whatsoever come in. They don't have that context or they're not ready for it. And it's just like, what is this fight? I'm like, yeah, man, it's a lot of fun. Like,
what's going on?
Have fun. gun.
And like, as we defeat him, one of the things I was kind of expecting was him to throw a temper tantrum in handsome Fabio body. But no, he's just like, no, I'm the powerful. And he just collapses. Like,
he sounds defeated, though. Like, you can feel that his entire world, like, he doesn't have the energy for a tantrum. His whole world has collapsed. A world where he was worshipped as a god is now no more. He's been laid low by someone, like, who he thought was dirt under his shoe.
It's not him just fighting against the fact that he's defeated. He's like, how? Like, how did this happen? I am perfect. Father said I was perfect. Everyone treated like I was the most important being on this. And
exactly. Yeah.
And he's been set up his entire life for that.
Yeah. He was set up.
Yeah, he was much, I mean, God, I hate to do this. He was as much of a victim as anybody else, really.
A victim of his circumstances.
He was painted the hero, and then we were painted the villain. And this is the other thing. Like, I wasn't expecting for him to stay as long as he was. I was expecting him to burst into light like all the other ones right away. No, he's holding on as long as he can. As far, mm-hmm. I was about to say as far, but as long as he could. And he's like, I was born to be the link between man and Sin Eater both. It's just mm-hmm.
Like, you know, you ruined paradise. Like, why do I have to be the one that dies? I was supposed to be the hero. And it's just like, but you are not the hero in this story. I'm sorry, buddy. I do feel bad for him, though.
He's like, help me, damn you. I am your god. He's like, his last words were like, I am perfection. You shouldn't be doing this.
Yep. And like, I will admit, I do now remember that he kind of threw a slight tantrum, but it was like with one arm. It was just like two taps.
He just paps with one arm because baby's tired.
And then like when he looks at you before the echo, he looks at you. And I had that slight remnants of when we defeated, oh God, now I'm forgetting his name. Heaven Sword final boss, the Knights of the Round.
Thordin.
Like when he looked at you and it like does that first one and you're like all normal and then it zooms in and goes all dark and he's just like, demon.
It's like, what are you?
They described they purposely described it because Thordin in his mind thought he was doing the right thing and he was righteous and he saw you as the ultimate enemy. And so when you beat him, he's just like, you know, you're the enemy of righteousness. You're the enemy of all good. You know, I guess you could say it kind of like pinpoint, it's like foreshadow to that concept of the Warrior of Darkness, playing the role of the villain, save the world.
And we get a little more on Vor 3 because we get that echo thing, or we get the echo memory afterwards because we're looking at him and then the echo kicks in. And you see a little bit about him and you do get that sense that, as Dylan had said, he'd been set up the whole time. His parents set this up from the get-go and Emmett started it because he's a meddling cow. Him and his fabulous fur coat.
Damn you, fashionable evildoer.
But he's been set up the whole time, like, and they're just like, oh, look at these Sin Eaters. There is, you know, docile pets around our baby. And it's like, I want to know what happened to his parents.
I'm sure we'll find out in the upcoming patches because, you know, that is one question they never explained. And,
did
he
eat them is my question. Did he eat his parents?
I hope not. But
they're not going to go there. Please. No.
I hope not.
I would actually
eat everyone else.
I was going to say, I was going to say maybe he turned them into Sin Eaters and then he ate them.
Cannibalism.
Which is, I mean, that's what he was doing this whole time. So he was consuming the light of other beings.
That is true.
There's
not saying that they didn't get corrupted by the light from another way.
Yeah, that's true. So. But this is all just speculation anyway. The cutscene after this is what gets me every time. That cutscene, though.
As you exit that echo, your diet decides to backfire.
Like, you have some serious, serious indigestion. Like, you spit up a little bit. Like, and I don't mean a little bit. You spit up a lot. And it doesn't look normal.
There's no amount of Pepto that's going to save you, baby.
Nope. You got to go to the hospital.
Like, it is so bad that the light that just subsided from the sky comes back full gradients, shining. You're sitting there trying not to get corrupted, but your body's just like,
you are oozing light from every single pore in your body. You can't contain it anymore. And the cracking. Ugh, no.
It happens. Old trusty buddy, Exarch, shows up.
Enter Crystal Exarch.
I knew something was going on because it was weird that he only was there for the beginning. And then now magically he shows up at the ending. And I'm like, oh God. This is another Thordon type scenario. This guy is bad. We're going to have to beat him.
It's like, no, but we like him. And he's like, oh, look at this grand scheme that I have. I like, set
I'm
you up.
Bad
for-
guy.
Like, put I this
he's you putting up. Air quotes on bad guy because, you know, he's just trying. He's weaving.
He's trying
plot.
Too hard to be bad or to sound bad.
Yeah. It didn't work because immediately Ystola sees right through it because, you know, Arianje is like, do not, man, he got that angry dad voice. I got Arianje is like, do not interfere. And then Ystola is like, you knew all along, didn't you? And then just totally lays bare the Exarch spot. It's like, yeah, he's not going to try to steal the light. He's taking it away so he can die instead of the whole warrior light. And, you know, it's playing that really sad song. Oh,
yes. Which, like, that's the other thing. Like, there's so many questions, and I'm going to have to talk to you about this on a lore chat because, like, it will go from, like, talking about if he did get corrupted by the light, like, what would happen to the Crystal Tower if he was corrupted? Like, there was so many questions that I have to ask on that we have to save that for a lore cast.
Yeah, no, I totally agree. There's a lot of content.
And we don't even get to ask the Exarch those questions, but we do find out who he is.
Yes.
And if you've if you've done the prior raids in A Realm Reborn, the Crystal Tower raids, though a lot of people had twigged who it was by then.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I mean, there is definitely the suggestions and the hints being thrown out there from the very beginning.
Like,
I mean,
when they first showed the Crystal Tower and him, boom, instantly everybody thought it was either our good old pal Gralhatia or somebody new. Yeah, somebody new.
I like that you get to call out his name.
Some Allegan character.
Yes. I totally hit it.
Oh, sorry. Yeah, that option was not there if you didn't beat the Crystal Tower.
Yeah, so go do that raid.
So, yes, definitely. They weren't kidding. I mean, they pushed it really hard before Shadowbringers.
Really hard.
Do Crystal Tower. And they literally will not let you call him by his name if you haven't beat it. So,
yeah.
At the beginning of the expansion, when you show up at the Crystarium, you actually get to, like, ask him, like, Graha. And he's like, no, I'm not him.
No, like, who are you talking about? That's like, not me.
There was no one in the tower when we got it. It's like...
I wanted a squinty eye option. Be like...
Yeah, like squint. Dot option. Where was my ... option where I get to just squint at him? Like, are you lying to me? Are you actually lying to me right now, barefaced?
And then it should have been, if you picked that, like, at the beginning, you should be like, ha, I knew it.
I told you.
The
liar.
It's just like, I mean, and so the thing is, Gratio, he already like made this massive sacrifice before this whole thing happens. You know, he tells way back, if you've done the Crystal Tower quest line, he makes a choice to seal himself in the tower. Wait until the future when the technology of the tower could be used for good.
Yeah.
And so, like, you already have those feels, and here he is standing before you on the first, and he's just like,
Thank you for everything you've done.
You know, this is probably a bad way to end the story, but better me than you, because you're my inspiration. Thank you for everything. And you're like,
he has a sweet smile.
Oh, yeah. His face contorts a little bit. If you call him by his name, he gets kind of sad and then goes back into his, you know, his thing where he's like, thank you for everything. But you can throw him off. Like, he's not ready to hear his name from your lips, like, at all. So.
And unfortunately, that moment gets ruined.
Oh, God. Like, that last moment as everything's starting to sink in, I was like, great. Now I'm going to have to fight another guy. Bang!
Yeah, I didn't even hear the gunshot. I heard the burst noise. I think they made the burst noise, but it was so, like, in the moment that you don't really realize that he got shot. You just think it's part of the ethereal explosion, that stuff that's going on with the barrier and the light pouring on your body. I didn't really click that a bullet had gone off in that whole thing.
Yeah. Yep. Playing Machinist, you get that sense of the aether bullets, as they call it.
Oh, yeah.
You can hear the gunshots, and that actually sounds exactly similar to when you're Machinist and you're pulling the trigger. So, okay, like, I knew instantly it was a gun, and it's like, oh, great. Who's this guy?
Who's next? Yeah.
And, of course, it's Shady Grandpappy Emmett, and he's got some more shade for us because he's like, oh, I'm so disappointed in you. And I'm just like, are you kidding me right now? Just really? Because I'm a little bit pukey right now doesn't mean you need to be disappointed in me.
Really? You can't finish the Kool-Aid? Pathetic.
Can we just talk about the fact he used a Guardian gun? Like, talk about, like, I mean, the joke of how he's stuck in the past. He didn't even want to use a fancy gun. He's just, I'm going to use the gun that I helped make.
It's like, listen, Grandad, we get that that's your aesthetic, but come on.
Come on. Yeah. Literally.
But where does he keep that gun in his fancy robe.
There's probably a holster pocket somewhere.
Yeah. So, I mean, they're Garleans. They always have guns on them. Like, every single one of them has some sort of gun.
He just whips it out of his Garlean knickers. Yeah.
Oh my god. I know. Please no.
He's got like a little little thigh belt there, and he just lifts up his skirt and then whips the pistol out and shoots Graha. That's what we don't see under that robe. He's wearing suspenders.
All Garland support open carry. They just have it just right there ready to go.
Yeah.
So basically Garlemald is Texas. Oh, yeah.
I mean, we're not denying it.
I don't think anybody can.
I am never going to unhear the phrase, he whips his pistol out from underneath his robe.
His Garlean, yeah.
From his Garlean garter.
Yeah.
Why?
That's their other export.
Okay, we're never talking about Garlean garters ever again.
Family friendly.
One time. Hey, we said garters. We didn't say other things.
That is true. And so to carry on, because what have I done? Like, so Graha gets captured, and Emmett just throws down, says, look, if you want to square off, and if you want to die peacefully, and just like go mad in peace, like, you can come and meet me in the Tempest. And we're like, oh, that doesn't help. I don't know where that is. And then we collapse. But Rean is obviously trying to do her best to help us.
Yeah. I'm sorry, I'm still stuck on the past here.
Oh my god. So we wake up, and we wake up in our room, and we look out the window, and there's all the light again.
The light has returned.
All of our good work has basically been undone.
Everywhere. Not just
everywhere.
All of us
shouted again.
Like, got dunked. Like, all of our hard work we're in almost an odd but situation right now. Like, all of this hard work, was it really for nothing? Are we just going to die now?
I was going to say, I actually expected, like, later when we went back to the Crystarium, that, like, people are going to meet us with, like, pitchforks and torches.
Yeah. Everyone managed to keep it a secret.
What did you do?
they still hold out because they're just like, I mean, something's wrong because it all came back. But, your friends brought you here and they were tired. So we help them. Ardbert's like, look, man, I don't know what's going on, but if you got the strength to stand, you get strength enough to walk, I'll get some air.
Yeah, you have heart to hearts with Feowul and Ardbert.
Oh man, those are some really good talks.
Yeah, Mama's been real supportive. Like the Fae Queen, she's been real supportive for us, saying, keep going, keep at it. There are worse things. You could come and spend like the rest of, eternity in the castle. I'll give up my robe and my scepter, and you can just go mad in the castle if you want. And I'm like, no, Mom, I don't want to do that.
Right? Yeah. It's like, no, I don't want to be a Titania.
Well, and she's like, don't give me that look. I knew you were going to say no. Goodness.
She's like, it was maybe actually an option that she was hoping for. A little bit. Mom's proud of us regardless.
Yeah. And if it wasn't for Mom, I would assume that everything would have been for naught. Because, like, she tells us to go talk to everyone, as you said. And, just talking about it, you start to realize that there was no other options. Clearly, Graha had to do what he had to do. And if it would have succeeded, it could have possibly saved everybody. But then, Grandpappe decided to interfere. And
We just got to figure a way around it. Like, you just got to figure out that puzzle.
And so now we're trying to figure out where the Tempest is with them.
Don't forget the Ardbert fist bump. That nice little heart-to-heart. He's like, so I saw what you did with the Talos. I saw how you got everyone together. And, right there and then I realized, you're walking the path that I left. So I'm going to stay with you. I'll help you up. I'll keep your, push you back up if you fall down. But this is it. We're brothers now. And, he's like, come on then. And you fist bump him and you see that light and you see this sword of connection. And he's like, yeah, I knew it. I knew there's a reason why I didn't go away with the rest of them. And it's just, oh, it's so good.
Yeah. And you're still wondering, like, what's going on? Is he going to is he going to absorb some of this light and become a being again?
Yeah.
Yeah. Do we get a buddy? Like, are we going to go on fantastic adventures together?
Yeah. So then you go into the Crystal Tower, and of course, Lynn is there to show you the way. And you get that echo of explaining why Graha wanted to do what he did to Uriange.
He's just like, make up some stuff. Make up this is a story. We're gonna spin this. We're gonna spin this story, and everyone's gonna believe it. You gotta make it believable, baby.
Well, I know Thancred holding his head in pain was actually a meme for a little bit.
Thancred's always a meme.
Like
Like, Arianna's just trying to figure out what's going on. And he's just like, I prithee, give me a moment. Because it's like, even in his fancy words, he's just like, okay, I usually the hard one to understand, but you have got the cake. What? <It's just>
like, let me get this straight.
Oh, it's so crazy.
And Marty, get in the car.
Yeah, exactly. Marty, get in the car.
Oh, my goodness.
I'm sorry I had to.
And then we go and talk to, well, we go and like asking around, like, where is this Tempest thing? What is it? I mean, it sounds pretty gnarly. So where are we going? Yes, indeed. Right. It is gnarly puppy. Exactly. And we find out it's in the ocean.
Yep.
And we can breathe underwater. Like, that's no big for us because we got the blessings of the Kojin, baby. But everybody else, not so much. So yeah, we need to figure out a way to make this work.
Well, and like, you were just going to go by yourself. And
yeah,
they're like, hold up. What are you doing?
We get told off.
What are you doing? And then, like, you know, Rin goes on this thing where she's like, I don't know if we should do anything because I have no idea when you're going to lose yourself to the light. Like, you're still sick.
Mm-hmm.
And, oh, man, I'm not going to lie. When Alice replies back and she's just,
you know, oh, yes.
She snaps. And then her brother tries to console her and she's just like, I get it. She just starts to cry. I oh, man, I was crying too bad.
She doesn't want to lose. She doesn't want to lose
so
anyone.
She's so scared to lose you. Yeah. Because she's already lost so much. She's, you know, Gabu and Tezlin. And now you're going through the situation that she has no control over. Amen. I think it's whenever someone she loves, you know, someone she cares about dearly is losing themselves to something she has no control over. She's
like
just
her granddad.
Like, yeah, literally. Yep. Like, it started
all
with
the way back to Louis Swa, baby.
She's still holding that pain. And she's seen you succumb to the same power, you know, a thing that's
the
taken
same
away,
fate.
You know. Exactly so. And she's just like, she's crying. And you're like, I cried. I was like, oh.
It's like, no, Alize, don't cry. This is bad. Be strong. Be strong.
If you cry, then I'm going to cry. And then we're all going to cry.
And it's just going to rain.
Except Thancred, because like, he doesn't cry at anything.
Oh, man.
Thancred's like, hey, Rain, I'm out of bullets, so.
Well, and then everyone comes up. You know, there's a part that's like, hey, is there anything we can do to help? And like the entire Crystarium shows up. And
they're
just
like, we know who you are.
Yeah, they're like,
we
knew
the whole time.
Anything we can do to help the Warrior of Darkness? And then they jump back. You told them? But, you know, they're like, it doesn't take two or two to equal four. We figured it out. Everywhere you went, the light would suddenly disappear. Come on. Like,
it's like, come on, dude. We're not stupid. We know who you are.
You're the focus of our oldest legends here. We get it. Like, and so let us help you. And you get to tell, you get to pick, you know, an option to tell them. And it's like, stay here till we return. You get that epic moment and everyone's happy again.
Like, yeah, we'll come back. It's fine. I'm not going to die. Probably. Maybe. Nervous.
Don't worry, guys. I will return.
Yep.
No, and I won't.
Maybe.
Arianna makes a weird hint. He's like, hey, I got a plan, but let's go do it first before we, you know, before I say anything. And you're like, bro, we've already talked about this. You're not supposed to keep secrets from me.
Stop just with the secrets.
He can't help it, I guess. So you head over to the fishing town and then it's like, it's right over there. You see that island? Go check it out. And you're like, why?
Why though?
It's like, I've already swam to that island. It's
I'm
just an
sick,
island.
And you are asking me to go
swimming?
Yeah,
it's like, why are you making this harder than it needs to be? And then you dive and you see closed eyelids and you're like, hold up.
Wait. I love this part. I love it so much. Man.
And it's just like, did you figure it out yet? Did you? And you're like,
Yep.
And he's like, well, our answer is this island. It's actually a whale. What?
I love that dialogue option. It's just like, this reminds me of Bismarck.
Because, you know, like, you'll go around, you'll explore everything. And I remember, like, I was, like, running around that. I'm like, I told my friend, I'm like, this seems like a creature. I don't know what kind of creature.
Looks like it's sleeping.
Yeah, it's like, it's going to end up being a primal, isn't it?
I thought the same thing.
But it turns out he's just a really big fairy that likes having his teeth brushed.
Yeah, I'm not going to lie. I want to learn Fae just because of just the way it sounds when Bismarck speaks it. I was like, I want to learn Fae and speak just
he's
like
he's so
that.
Big and rumbly.
Have a little conversation in Fae on the podcast.
I mean, I have a really big soft spot for Bismarck. So seeing him again, I was like, Bismarck. Oh, it's my baby.
And then like you ask him, hey, can you take us? And he's just like, I'm just tired. I want a nap.
Let me go back to sleep. Go away.
He's like, when the light is gone. And it's like, dang it. Like, it was.
You turn the light off. Maybe I'll do what you want.
Yeah. The one option that I had to click was to get Fail Ul. Because, you know, The one time I think it's okay to call mom, and mom comes in, the music starts getting all cheerful, and it's like, oh, I guess this was the option.
So, yeah, and she's like, oh my god, you called me.
Yeah. My snake, yuck.
Yes, little baby, you kindly.
My precious bride. Or is it? No, you're the sapling, aren't you? You're her precious sapling. She's so happy.
You finally asked her for help.
She talks to Bismarck like they're old friends, and it's great. She's just like, come on, you know, you want to do it. I'm queen now, so do the thing.
And Bismarck's like, well, this is new. All right.
Well, this is a rare sight to see.
Yep. Hi, Queenie.
Just seeing the guys at the dock in Colusia, they're just like,
that was fantastic.
They're just like, what is that? Oh Lord!
Like the way it is set up is just the guy's just standing there while the other one's doing the work, and he's just like, "Yeah, this is a nice day to work." And oh my God, what is that?
Well, the guy's like, beforehand, like, "This is the most like that scene, that Talos man. That was the most amazing thing I ever saw. I'm never going to see anything that amazing again."
Yeah. The flying whale.
Flying whale
just comes and belly flops into the ocean. He's just like, "Oh God, that's different."
Oh Lord, he coming. Oh, there's a
manager. Manager, the water's coming.
The only thing that would have made that better is if like one of them was drinking and then just like dropped his beer and like, I'm done. Never again.
That would have been perfect. Just like swilling wine or whatever. And he's just like, I'm not drinking anymore.
Uh-oh. We got to run, boy.
I love that cutscene so much. It was a perfect way to end that particular segment.
It was.
Especially like, with the joke about this is not going to be the most amazing thing I'll ever see again. And like, really? This is Final Fantasy 14.
It's like, you've not met me, the Warrior of Light.
Hold my potion.
Hold my potions.
Hold my elixirs.
So.
And then we enter into this zone, which, you know, is the Mysterious Tempest, which I'll have to say, you know, as we're closing this episode, I have to say thank you, Square Enix and dev team, for keeping that place as secret as absolute possible.
Oh, God, yes.
No way. Honestly, unless you looked for it yourself, there was no way you could have been spoiled what the final zone was. And that was awesome. You know,
out of left field.
The fact that they had no hint at where it was either.
No, nothing. Absolutely nothing. So it was such a good experience because you finally show up and you're like, holy crap. And you just like the awe and the wonder and experience of being able to see this for the first time without any spoils, without anyone saying anything about it. And like even the community picked up on it because they're like, why is the final zone question? You know, there's no hint to it whatsoever. And they realize, oh, I think they're trying to keep it like tight-lipped until you get there.
Yeah, right under wraps. And I'm glad they did that too. So like, it was good, such a nice thing.
We'll have to talk more about how secret it was next time.
Definitely. Yeah, we ain't gonna spoil you neither.
Nope.
Tempest episode next.
The Tempest is a secret within a secret.
Within
a secret. There's so much secret within secrets that we're just gonna have one whole podcast for it.
Yep.
So
perfect. It's gonna be a secret podcast.
Yes.
So the title is question.
It is actually. How'd you know?
So stay tuned because like the Warrior of Light, it's gonna be at lit.
Yep.
Oh my goodness. I can't believe you did that. That's almost as bad as Garly and Garters.
You know what? I'm on a roll today, baby. I'm on a roll today with these bad puns. I don't even care. Yeah.
For Christmas, I'm getting you armored Garly and underwear.
Yes! I will wear that to FanFest.
So thank you guys for tuning in. We greatly appreciate it.
Yes, we do.
We hope you guys have a wonderful Turkey Day if you're in the U.S.
Yes,
if
not, happy Thanksgiving.
Enjoy your wonderful days. And until next time, we wish you a wonderful eve.
Take care.
Bye.
Toodles. Aetherstream is part of Aetherflow Media, a community-based project with a focus on Final Fantasy XIV. Aside from this podcast, we produce web content and our magazine, Aetherflow. And if you like what you see and hear, consider joining our Patreon, which you can find at patreon.com/aetherflowmedia. All funds go towards providing you with the best possible content that we can create.